Okay, a very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Sukkah, Yud Dalid, Sukkah 14a, pagination, page 27. We're going to start in the middle of the wide, midway on the page, the beginning of the line is Ruyos Lahovchan Be'eser, which is a certain tool used by farmers. And then we begin. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Lama Nimshala Tefilasan Shal Tzadikim Ke'eser. Why is it that prayers of Tzadikim are compared to an Eser, to this tool that flips the grain and moves it from place to place in the process of making it edible? So Rashi tells us two specific psukim. One pasuk, Vayetar Yitzchak Lahashem, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak davened regarding his wife Rivka to Hashem that he should be able to have children from her. And then the pasuk says, Vayeoser lo. And Hashem, in fact, accepted the tefillah. So tefillah is called Eser. Lo malach. What's the significance of that expression to tell you? Ma Eser ze ma'apeches ha-tevuah bigorin mi-makom le-makom. Just like the Eser flips the grain in the granary from one place to another, af tefillosin shal tzadike ma'apeches daito shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimides achzorius lemides rachmanus. So the prayers of tzaddikim change mahafeches from v'nahafochu, like by Purim. It flips the intent of Hashem from achzorius, from harsh decree, lemides rachmanus, to a merciful decree. Okay. So we have an Eser that changes things. And just like it changes the grain, it changes Hashem's mind. So this topic actually was addressed by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman before he was killed during the Holocaust. People asked him for an explanation. So Rabbi Elchanan said a fascinating mashal, which you may have come across, but is very apropos to this Gemara. Rabbi Elchanan said that when a farmer has a field, the city, the villager, passes by, and the city dweller doesn't understand what's going on. The farmer takes a very nice field, and he chops it down and starts grinding it up and plowing, and the villager can't figure out what he is doing. Then he takes good grain that could have been eaten, and instead he starts putting it under the ground and covering it with dirt. Then it starts growing, and the villager thinks, oh, now I understand, what a beautiful field you did. And then the farmer comes and says, you don't understand anything. And he chops it all down. He harvests the field. And he takes out of it the grain, and the villager says, now I understand. And then the farmer says, you don't understand anything. And he smushes the grain into fine flour. And then he's back and forth. He's making beautiful loaves, and he puts the loaves into the oven. You're burning all your hard work until finally the loaf comes out, and he understands. When we have a situation that we daven for it to change, what the Gemara is essentially telling us, according to Rabbi Elchanan's mashal, is that it's part of the journey. It's not like we see the world black and white, this is bad, this is good. It's part of the journey. And what a person davens is not, this is bad. Person says, Dayana emes gamzu l'tayva, Hashem knows what he's doing, but I'm davening ke'eser. Can we move this along, please? I'm done with this part. I'd like to move on. It was necessary, but ke'eser, to be mahapich, what we perceive as midas achzarius, to move on to the next stage, l'midas rachmanus. Okay, so that's a perspective of how to deal with things in difficult times. Let's see the next Mishnah, and we have another topic that perhaps will fit that theme of difficult times. The Mishnah says, Misakrim banasarim, divi Rabbi Yehuda. You're allowed to use boards. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, using it for schach. The problem is that when you use boards, it looks like a house, and it's not going to be a kosher sukkah. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a problem. Rabbi Meir oser, and Rabbi Meir says no way. Let's skip into the Gemara. The Gemara says at the end of the line, Amar Rav, Rav explained, Machlokas b'nisarim shiyesh b'hem arba'a. We're talking about boards that have four tfachim. Do Rabbi Meir isle gezeras tikra? Because Rabbi Meir is worried about gezeras tikra, this legislation that even though it's kosher, after all the boards are made of wood that grew from the ground, there's perfectly good schach. But there's a gezeras tikra. It looks like the roof of a house. Rabbi Yehuda, lesle gezeras tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of this problem of gezeras tikra. And that's why he ruled in the beginning of our Mishnah, Mesakchim banasarim, you're allowed to do it. Avo banasarim she'ein bohem arba'a. But if it doesn't have four tvachim, divri akol k'shera, everybody says it's kosher. The Gemara continues and tells us the opinion of Shmuel, who also strives to understand the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Shmuel holds that it's only pachos mishlosha divri akol k'shera. If it's less than three tvachim in width, then everybody would say it's kosher. But you have a machlokas here, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and there's definitely a case of Gezeiras Tikra where some or all will say that such a board can't be used because it's too similar to a house. Let's turn over the page and we'll see this dialogue play itself out. From the top of the page, at least a third down, almost a half. At the beginning of the line, it says, Kavase de Shmuel, and then we begin. Middle of a line. Tanya Kavase de Rav. We learnt a brisa like Rav. Sikcha bin Esarim shal Erez. If a person puts schach on his sukkah, boards of cedar. She'ein bohem arba'a, and it's less than four tfachim each board. Divri akol k'shera, everybody says it's kasha. Yesh behem arba'a, if it's more than four. Rab Meir posel, Rab Yehuda machshe, that's the case of the machlokes, that Rab Yehuda is more lenient.
Dalit tzvachim wide?
Wide. Omar Rab Yehuda, listen to this story. Maisa b'shasa sakana, it happened in a time of danger. The Goyim legislated against Jewish observance, so the Jews had to be creative. Shehevenu nesarim, we brought boards. Shayu ben arba, they were four in width. Vesichachnu al gabe merpeses, and we covered over a merpeset, over some patio. Vyashavnu tachteyen, and we were able to sit there, and no one realized that we were in a sukkah. It was great. And that was our solution. Amrulo, and they told him, Misham Raya, you're bringing a proof? Ein shasa sakana raya. You can't bring a proof from a case of danger. What are they saying? So there's a bit of machlokas here. Either they're saying that when Chazal made the legislation against boards of four tfachim, they understood that there might be a shasa sakana and they did not include their gzeira in such a case. And if such a case would occur, the Derabbanan Gezeira doesn't apply, and you could actually make a bracha on the sukkah because you're under the dispensation called Shas HaSakana, time of danger. And the Mishnah Berura mentions that opinion. Others hold that B'Shas HaSakana, you do your best. Maybe you yotze the Deoraisa, maybe whatever. You try. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you can make a bracha. Two very interesting different ways to understand this statement. But one approach certainly is that in difficult times, Chazal actually had that in mind, and they never made the gzeira, and therefore you could make your bracha. The Ritva mentions over here that this concept of shasa sakana, a tremendous shasadchak of this type, would apply as well later in the Masechta when we're dealing with Arba Minim. He says that anytime you have a psul derabbanon, if an esrig is only pasul midrabbanon, then b'shas ha-sakana, it's kosher. It's considered good. So if you have trouble importing an esrig into such a country, so you import something that's pasul midrabbanon, it's clearly pasul. But if you can play the dispensation called shas ha-sakana, it could be that you can make a bracha even though it really is pasul midrabbanon. Fascinating example, in this case, of Jewish observance in difficult times. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.